Don't Go Christmas Tree Hunting After Dark in northern Canada. When I was growing up, every Christmas we would go out hunting for a tree, perfect one, just the right size to put in our living room. It was always an excursion, going out into the countryside, crammed into the snow-covered car in our winter gear. My mom and dad, my brother Noel and I, the four of us were an unstoppable team, heading out into the wild wilderness to find the one ideal specimen to hack down, drag home with us, so that we could decorate it in tinsel and cover with ornaments, lights, and the works. Every year, it was our tradition, until one year, it wasn't anymore. Dad passed away a couple of years back, and with all the pandemic business, it doesn't look like we'll be doing much as a family this Christmas for the first time I can remember. It was with this feeling of melancholy and neglect nostalgia in mind that I hopped into my car on a whim and drove out into the snow-covered countryside to find a Christmas tree. The whole thing was a bit out of the ordinary for me, but I was feeling stir-crazy, sitting in my apartment, and I had just been quarantined for a week due to exposure at work and had finally gotten back a negative test result. Subsequent all clear to venture outdoors again. After days of Uber Eats watching reruns of old Christmas movie, I could finally leave my house. I couldn't remember the place where we had gone to as kids, so I just drove around until I found a farm with the sign out front. It took a couple of hours, but I liked that lost feeling. A sense of misdirection that none of us experience anymore, since we all have GPS and cell phones. I had turned my phone off and put it in my glove box, vowing to never use it for the trip. Instead, wandering until I finally found the sign I was looking for. Christmas tree. It read $40. Bring your own saw. Perfect, I thought. Just like the olden days. I pulled into the frozen gravel lot and parked. It was getting a bit late in the day, so the few people in the parking lot were already tying trees to the roof of their cars, or throwing them in the back of the pickup truck. Better hurry, said a man in a flannel shirt and overalls as I got out of my car. Gets dark early nowadays. Don't want to be stuck here after the sun goes down. Gets cold quickly in these parts. I was immediately struck by his intimidating height. Being 6'5" myself, I don't often run into someone taller than me. He looked down at me, and I thought he had to be at least above 7 feet tall. His skin was stretched though, over prominent cheekbones, and he appeared emaciated and malnourished. Thanks, I said. I haven't done this since I was a kid. Hopefully I still remember how to work a hacksaw. He looked at me crooked for a second, then smiled in a slightly creepy way. His teeth were yellow and nicotine stained. His eyes looked yellow as well. His skin rough and covered in sores. You never forget how to use a hacksaw. It's like riding a bike. But remember what I said about the darkness and cold. You from around here?
Yeah, more or less. Why?
He watched me for another second, chewing a wad of something sticky and brown in his mouth as he did. Just make sure you're back by your car before sundown. Lots of animals out here and not much to eat this time of year.
What kinds of animals?
All kinds. Wolves, coyote, other things too.
I assumed he was the unstable owner of this place and guessed by his comments that he was slightly insane too.
One of his eyes was looking at me and the other was staring off into the distance. The parking lot was soon abandoned as all the other cars seemed to leave at the same time as I prepared to go out. Thrashing through the snow, bundled up with my hacksaw in hand, I proceeded into the forest of Christmas trees and he stood and watched me go. Near the parking lot, the trees were all too large to fit into my living room. It took a while to get into the decent ones and I found a lot of the best specimens had been taken. The one had a hole in the size of a basketball in the bots. The one had already starting to turn brown and looked sick. Too large, too small, too skinny, too tall, too fat, wouldn't fit. Before I knew it, I realized I was having trouble seeing where I was going. The sun had been subtly setting behind my back. I tripped over something and fell in the snow. When I got up, my gloves were damp and I realized my feet were starting to feel numb. I was suddenly getting very cold. Okay, I thought to myself, just pick one and get out of here. All the trees looked sick, dying. I realized now there were a lot of missing large sections and none of them looked suitable for use. I settled with a random one after a couple of minutes and quickly hacked it down with the saw. By the time I was done, it was pretty much completely dark outside. I thought again about the man's warning to return to my car before it got dark.
and started to get nervous and wonder why he's been so insistent. Perhaps there are wolves, a voice in my mind said, or bears. Maybe there are wendigos. Why did I have to think about that? As I walked through knee-deep snow, dragging a sick-looking tree behind me, I remember what I have read about them. Wendigos were a creature first mentioned in Canadian First Nations folklore, and I have once done a project on them for school. I discovered through my research that a Wendigo is an evil, malevolent spirit that is fueled by greed and loves the cold, prefers its victims hungry, like those found in remote regions during their winter months. It possessed people, caused Wendigo psychosis, a condition diagnosed by a psychiatrist. Symptoms include craving for human flesh. Those who are possessed want to eat people. For every person the creature kills, it consumes. It gaunts, a skinny framework, grows taller, thus never feeling satisfied. It is towering in its heights, thin and human-like, but motivated only by greed and insatiable hunger for human flesh. Wendigo tend to appear in winter when food is scarce. They love the cold. They are drawn by starvation and ice-cold freezing despair. My stomach rumbled with hunger. Snap out of it, I told myself. I thought I heard something, footsteps in the snow behind me. I stopped walking and turned around quickly to look. No one. I began to walk again. The darkness was nearly total, but my eyes had adjusted enough not to trip as I trudged along through the deep snow, dragging a tree by its trunk. That was when I heard a sound again. Footsteps, closer this time. Movements of another person walking in the snow. I turned around and the sound stopped, but I'd been sure this time someone was following me. Hello? I looked around, scanning the shadows in the directions where I had heard the noise. Is someone there? No one. Hesitantly, I turned around to begin my march again. My thighs now numb from the cold. My toes had gone from wet and frozen pins and needles sensation in association with childhood, tobogganing excursions, to now suddenly feeling painful and dead. Temperature had plunged rapidly. I hadn't checked the forecast, but this seemed unnatural. It felt like it was minus 30 degrees Celsius. My breath plumed out in the air in front of me, and my wet hands began to shake involuntarily. Suddenly my teeth were chattering and I was having trouble walking, my legs not wanting to move. The sound was coming from behind me again, much closer now. I turned around and this time it didn't stop. It didn't try to hide. The thing coming at me was very much like the man from the parking lot. He was no longer human. Maybe he never was in the first place. His plaid shirt was torn and looked like he had grown taller than before, now pushing 8 feet. John's eyes, full of hate and hunger, stared at me as he raced towards me, his long legs making him move quickly in the snow. For a moment, I was frozen there, in more ways than one. It felt like the closer he got, the colder it was. And if anything propelled me to escape from him, it was that I didn't want to feel that freezing dread for 1 second longer. It felt like death. My heart racing, I dropped the tree and ran. The fear I felt as I raced through the snow was indescribable. Have you ever been so afraid your body doesn't feel real anymore? Your muscle memory doing everything for you, telling your body to run, and you don't even have time to think. You just run. The problem is when there's an 8-foot tall Wendigo chasing after you, and they're obviously hungry and fast as hell. That's when it doesn't matter how quick you run, because you're still gonna die. I heard him gaining on me, and I knew if I looked back, I would die. Just brief, momentary lack of focus would be enough to cause my demise. My heart skipped a beat as I felt. My heart skipped a beat as I felt it swipe at my clothing and nearly grab a hold of me, and I realized I would never get away by running like I was. I could hear its breath behind me, very close, breathing heavily as I ran. Headlights flashed suddenly, illuminating me, and I heard the Wendigo scream and duck away. The parking lot was to my left. I realized I had reached it just in time as the creature was about to grab hold of me. I would have still if not for this one random person pulling into the parking lot. I heard the Wendigo running off back into the trees, clearly terrified of the light. My heart hammering, I walked towards the parking lot. I wanted to thank whoever was in the car, since they had saved me. Even if it hadn't been intentional, it had happened. Interestingly, the car looked familiar. I realized as I walked over to it. My older brother, Noel, rolled down his window, and the expression on his face revealed a total lack of surprise or any other emotion. Oh, you saved me, man. Thank you. There was something chasing me out in the woods.
A Wendigo? He asked.
Yeah, how did you know? And how did you know I was out here?
Mom told me you went looking for a tree, and there's only a couple of places you can go these days. I got worried about you. You don't remember what Dad always told you?
The memories start flooding back to me. I had forgotten what Father had warned us about over and over again. No wonder the advice from the man in the parking lot had been so familiar.
Never go Christmas trees chopping after dark, I said.
But what does that have to do with Wendigos?
Man, think about it. Those guys love the cold, right? And they love when people are hungry. What are the two things you always remember feeling when we went looking for a Christmas tree as kids?
My stomach rumbled again, louder this time.
Why had I skipped dinner before coming out here?
Point taken. My whole body is completely frozen solid, totally numb, and I'm starving.
Follow me, he said. I'll drive you to the nearest burger place, and we'll get a bite to eat and get you warmed up.
I got into my car with one last parting glance at the woods. Yellow eyes gleamed from the darkness. Maybe I'll get the veggie burger for a while.
Hey guys, if you like this story, I'd recommend you to check out the author's book on Amazon out now. It's called Beneath the Asylum. It's written by Jordan Gruppe. I really enjoyed reading this story and narrating it. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. And if you're watching this on YouTube, do not forget to subscribe. And if you're listening to this on any podcast, it can be Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen from. Do not forget to hit that subscribe or follow. It would be an honor. Please do remember that I'm still quite new with this, and it might not always be perfect. I really enjoy narrating and doing these stories. So if you like it, please give it a follow, subscribe, or wherever you're listening from. With that being said, stay spooky. And I'll see you guys in the next one.